Brother Elvin alluded to the wedding yesterday, and that also tied in very well even to thinking of making some analogies in the sermon this morning. And I've titled, as you see, my message, A Family Connected. And what I want to share this morning is going to be more in relation to us as a church family, as individual bodies, and not just us as a body here at Shiloh, but us as a body wherever you fit into your local congregation. And what the Bible has to say to us about being plugged in, what the Bible has to say about being connected with a local body. And when you look in Scripture, you'll see lots of Scripture that talks about we are His body, you know, we're His hands, we're His feet. We can't operate on our own. That would allude to the fact of we are born into the kingdom of God through our confession of who Jesus Christ is, through salvation, by faith. Then we are in the body. But then also there's very much Scripture that would lend its support to being connected in a local body. And that's what we kind of want to get into this morning. And my Scripture passage this morning, you might look at it when you see it and say, well, how does that connect? And I'll talk some about that, but it kind of helps us even to think about what marriage is and to what our local body as believers in local congregations, what that looks like. We'll look at that in just a little bit there in Ephesians 5, but there's several things, and you could add more to this list than what I have here, but I made a note here that for each one of us as humans, then I have five different things here, and I just want to read that to you. And think of yourself, think of others as you hear these five different points, and again, there could be many more points we could add to that, but thinking as being a body, and again, we're looking right now at the human body. But for each one of us as humans, we crave for family. We long for connectedness. Number two, for each one of us as humans, even an orphan longs to be connected with family. For each one of us as humans, we feel very alone if we don't have family. And this could be blood family or someone that I adopt, as it were, as my family. For each one of us as humans, if we don't have family, we spend extreme amounts of time and energy searching for family or for something to replace it with. We will fill that void or we will die trying. And number five, for each one of us as humans, if we do not have family, it does not make me or us any less human. It does mean that I will have issues, that I will have things to deal with that others with family don't have to deal with. And my effectiveness to others is often minimized because I'm so focused on finding acceptance and connectedness. These are just some points as I was pondering that I came up with and I wrote down. Again, many more could be written down, but we'll leave that with that. In today's culture, when you say the word church membership, there's lots of things that come into people's minds. There can be the good, the bad, the ugly. There's positive things, there's negative things. There's people who've had good experience, there's people who have bad experience with church membership. But it does seem in today's culture that church membership is not held as in a high esteem as it used to be, for various and sundry reasons that can be. But Bible really does lead itself to being connected through church membership. Now, we look back in the book of Acts and we look at what the early church started out with there. And for sure, there was some kind of connectedness there in membership. Whether they called it membership or not, I don't know. But each one of us, no matter what local body you come from, if you would take and sit down with your leaders, with your people, and you would say, okay, we're going to change because we're not doing it quite right. And we're going to change and become more like and become as close to the Acts 2 church as we can. And you would change all those things that the way you do as a church. I would venture to say with probably 99.9% assurance that after you make your changes, you're still not going to have it right. Because there's not enough detail in the Acts 2 church to let us know exactly how it was. And I think our God, who is big enough to handle all these situations, I think God probably had a reason for doing that. And that is in order that we, as we live out and we flesh out what God's word means and how we allow him to speak to us and in how we apply what his word tells us in the local body means in our own local congregation. Because there's many ways that things can be done, and it's not right this way or wrong this way in so many things. Now, there are things that we have in Scripture that are absolutes. We daresn't fudge on those. But there are other things that you could do it one way or do it the other way, and Scripture would not really speak on that. And when we so often think of membership, we tend to maybe think of a club. We think of joining the golf course, of being a member there. You have privileges. Maybe you're part of a subdivision and that's, you pay your dues and there's certain rights and certain privileges that you get because you're a part of that organization. We're a member of Sam's Club. I'm pretty privileged because I can walk in there and I can flash this little card and they let me right in. You walk in there without a card. Amos, I think that happened to him the other day. He was refused entry, although his wife was already in there. But he did not have the proper credentials. It kind of ticks me off that I pay for the privilege of creating a profit for them. But be that as it may, I still do it. But Sam's Club is a club. It has certain rights and privileges that you acquire when you meet the requirements. But in a club, say in a golf club, when you're a part of it. When you move, when you leave, you either might go there and say, hey, I'm pulling my name from the membership. Most times it's just when you leave and you don't pay your dues, you're out. Well, in church membership, it should be much more intimate than that. It should be much more closer than that. Because each one of us, as believers, first of all, in Jesus Christ, and then as a part of a local body, we contribute to that. And we'll get into that in a little bit here. But just as we're members of Christ's body, each, you know, you might be, you can't be, none of us can be the head. That's for Christ alone. But we can be an arm, we can be a leg, we might be a finger, we might be a toe, we might, there's many parts that we could be, but we cannot be the head. But a body void of any one of our normal body parts, you can function without some of them, but not as good. And do we get it right as believers? Do we get it right as the church? So often we don't. I don't. I'll confess that to you, that so often I fail in that. But even in our own body, something as small as just piece of metal or a piece of wood that you can't hardly see with the naked eye causes us to keep. And shouldn't it be like that even in our local body, that we could be that sensitive to each one of our members, each one of our people, that even when there's something little, that we're sensitive to, that we feel that it holds us back. But so often it's like, boy, that was sure, that you ought to just get over it. That's our attitude, and we shouldn't be that way because we're family, we're connected. But when you leave a church, it's not as easy as just, and as simple, or it shouldn't be, as just leaving a club. It's like in a sense, you sort of dismember yourself from a body. You'll be missed. There'll be bleeding because there's something taken away. Well, you hear people saying, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm a part of Christ's kingdom. I don't need it to be hooked into a local body. And it's interesting, it's almost a no fail. And that is when someone calls here to the church, or maybe somehow they'll get my number and they'll call my cell or call at the house, and they're asking for money or they're asking for something. They're wanting some type of assistance. One of my big questions is what church are you associated with? Where do you attend? You know what the answer is? It's almost always. The answer is, well, right now, we're sort of between churches. That I always hear that. What that means is like, I don't have a church. Well, I don't go to church. Therefore, I don't have anybody that I can go to, but now I need something, so I'm coming to you and hoping that you won't ask me a lot of questions, and out of pity, you will do things for me. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't help people like this, but I think we should be careful. We should check it out. I usually like to say, check with your local church. Get connected with the local church, but check with your local, right where you live, and then talk with them and let them see and feel and hear your need, and then if we need to help more, have them call me. And they don't like that. But that usually seems to work rather well. And I think it's the way we should do it. Let's go on. This wasn't my quote, but I thought it was interesting. But this man was saying regarding membership. But he goes on to say that even everywhere in the New Testament that it's assumed that you would be a member of a local body, of a local congregation. He says this, asking where the Bible commands you to be a church member is like asking where the USGA rulebook for golf insists that you be a human. He says that the whole idea of the book of Scripture is addressed with the thought in mind that you're part, of course you're a part of a local body. And again, it can look different today than it looked in Acts 2. It will, it does. There's no way that it will be exactly the same. Just for the very fact that we don't have enough detailed information. And if we would, we still wouldn't get it right. But living without church membership or accountability is at the very least can be scary, not healthy. The desire that I have to choose what's right and what's wrong by myself sometimes, usually most times, is not a great idea. Because each one of us, we are flawed human beings. We have the propensity to be selfish, to do what I want to do. And we even Christianize that so often. And maybe without even thinking about it so much, but we do it. We do it so much to where we first figure out what it is that I want to do or what it is that I don't want to do. It depends on the circumstance. And then I go to Scripture and I find some justification for doing or not doing that. Rather than fitting myself in to a body who I look at and says, you know what? They are by their very best ability, according to God's word, trying to apply in actuality what God's word says. You need the encouragement of the shared victories of a local body. You need the fellowship of sharing your sufferings with a local body. Let's read in Ephesians 5, verses 23 to 32. And notice in here, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this. But again, I'm made aware that when you read something in Scripture that it admonishes and exhorts us on, you can probably figure that beings it's in there, and if it's addressing you as a lady or if it's addressing you as a man specifically, it's probably not just a typo or it's just that they decided, okay, we're going to put a woman in here, this passage, we're going to put a man's name in here and try to divide it out equal so we're fair. It probably is going to have more to do with the fact that you, dear man, struggle in this area. You, dear man, are really lacking on your own in this area, or you, dear lady, are lacking in this area. If your name is specifically mentioned as male or female, then, and you read Scripture, and you look in Scripture, and you look at it that way, you will find, and it's really eye-opening, because like, that is, I struggle there. Let's read. Ephesians 5, verse 23 says, "Now the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." Verse 24. "Now as the church submits," and again, talking about us as believers, and we can narrow that down, and even as a local body of believers. It says, "As the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their own husbands." Without going into a whole lot here, I think so often we focused on the wrong things. It says here, "As the church submits to Christ," who did Christ in authority put as leaders in the church? It's very clear that men are to be leaders in the church. Men are to be leaders in their homes. And I think what happens, sorry guys, but I think what happens is when we see our ladies like, "Why don't you get in line? And why don't you get in line? And why don't you get in line?" They're only doing and acting out what they see you act and do, except in their realm. So really, can we have any beef with the ladies if they don't do the way we think they ought to do? Maybe we should start back a little bit earlier and look at the men and see, where are you, father? Where are you, husband? Where are you, church leader? I don't like that. That gets pretty serious. But it's just how it is. So often, I can't look at someone else and say they have a problem, but it's more so, it can stem so often back to me and my realm of authority that I have that I'm not exercising. No matter where it is. And he talks about the church being this radiant. And I just had to think, Brother Elvin alluded to that of the bride yesterday. But that's the picture of the church. It's something beautiful. And if we get it right, it's going to speak to the world around us. They might not understand it. They can't wrap their brain around it, but they can't refute it. They have to admit there's something going on here that I don't understand. Well, let's go on. As I said, church membership is very much alluded to. It's not said you need to be a church member, but Scripture would very much lend itself to saying, of course you'd be a church member. Why would we even say that you should? Because you know that's just how it is. That's how it's set up. In our BMA website, there's an article in there, and this has to do with church membership and baptism, the relationship those have with each other. And if you have a chance, you can go online at biblicalmennoniteralliance.com, and you can look that up as well as other articles and so on. But this is one of them that is in there. And this morning, I'm just going to refer to part of this in relation just to membership. We won't get into the baptism part at all. And he asks in there, what about in Acts 15, where the church was gathered, and they had certain requirements that they meted out for the Gentiles, and Paul and Silas were commissioned to share those requirements with the new believers. And then he goes on to say, if there was no church membership, who do you submit to? If there's no church membership, who are we as leaders responsible to? For whose souls, as it says, I think it's in Hebrews, that they watch for your souls and talk about the church leaders. How do you know who or what that's speaking to? How can you administer church discipline? Are you going to look at the church universal and anyone that doesn't do the way you think the Bible teaches? You're going to go, and we as leaders are going to go administer church discipline? Would it be real effective? Probably not. How do you put away from yourselves that wicked person if there was no membership? John Piper had stated of a number of evidences. Again, he says that it can't be denied of church membership in a local body. And again, he says it's instructed to discipline its members. Again, who would you discipline if there's no local body? Excommunication, again. Who do you excommunicate when there's sin if there's no local body? How can you put somebody out that's not in? What bearing would excommunication have on someone that is not a church member anywhere, but is a believer? There's nothing there. There's no connectedness. And again, Christians are to submit to their leaders. And I could even add it to their flawed leaders. We are. Someone brought this to my attention, and some of you probably heard me saying this, but too often church leaders, they look at, you know, and I don't know why Jesus did this, but he had reasons, but you know we're referred to as sheep. And it doesn't say it together so much, but sheep are dumb. I mean, they're real dumb. So why does he relate people as sheep? And then we look at ourselves as leaders, as being shepherds. But did you know that in the New Testament, in the King James Version, you will never find the word shepherd for a church leader. It's not in there. Now you'll find it in the NIV. The best you will find is in Peter, where he talks about shepherd the flock that is among you. But it does not call us shepherds. At best, we as church leaders, we are under shepherds. We are only under Christ. We want you to follow us as we follow Christ, as Paul said. But we are also these dumb sheep, if I can use that word. We're no better than any of our church people. But God called us to leadership. And I think sometimes church leaders forget that. I want to look at another part of looking at church membership. And this would be called building up in the local body. We'll try to get done here. Our mission as God's people is to go. And probably in Matthew 28 where it says to go and make disciples, it's probably the better interpretation or the translation would be that as you go, make disciples. It's not a command that we go so much as it's assumed, of course you're going to go. As a believer, you're going to make disciples. As a believer, you're going to be that witness for Jesus Christ. Building up in the local body. And again, I want to look at it as it local body, as it relates to the nuclear family unit, which we wouldn't have to say that. The nuclear family unit would be a mom and a dad and children. But even in a family, that would be the way God set it up as far as being a perfect unit in that sense, where you have a mother and a father. But there's times that there's maybe not children. There's sometimes that one of the parents is gone through tragedy or whatever. But in a family unit, there's lots of similarities of how we should be in the church as relating to a local family unit. For each one of you, this applies, because each one of you came from a family. Each one of you, if you didn't know it, had a father and a mother. Everyone. In a family unit, number one, we have differences of opinion and we squabble, but we stick together. In a family unit, we don't tolerate anyone trash talking my siblings or my parents. In a family unit, we know that we do not always get it right. Maybe we don't hardly ever get it right. So what's your point? It doesn't matter. You're still family. This is my blood relatives. Don't mess with us. It's kind of how we all are. In a family unit, we love deeply, even at the risk of being misunderstood, of being rejected, or even being abandoned. We take those risks in the nuclear family unit. In a family unit, even when there are grave mistakes made, I'm saying even grave sins committed, we seek out ways to minimize the damage. In a family unit, there are extreme levels of maturity or the lack thereof. Again, what's your point? And I'm relating this to the local church as we think of our own families to the local church. If we can think of our local body more the way we think of it when we think of our own blood family, a lot of these things will just go away. In a family unit, when a family member walks away or they reject us, they want nothing to do with me anymore or us as a family, it hurts like everything. Although, when you really stop and think about it, life is easier without them there. But they're still family. In a family unit, if even, of even, say, let's four people, if we're all four alike in that family unit, if we're all four identically alike, you know what? Three of you are not necessary. In a family unit, when there is serious dysfunction and abnormal things going on, and I'm the normal one and I'm the functional one, I don't leave. I still don't leave because it's my family. I stick around. And I am going to try to bring some sanity into this unit as a blood family. I'm going to stay there. It's my family. In a family unit, this is the last one I have, and many more could be added again. But in a family unit, when one walks out or when one leaves, they're hurting and they're depriving themselves. But it also brings huge pain and huge loss to those that they're leaving behind. Philippians 1:27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. When you think of that in the nuclear family, it makes sense. But this is talking in the spiritual family. 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but your fellow citizens with God's people and your members of God's household. Philippians 2:1 through 3, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if you have any tenderness and if you have any compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. We're family. So as we think of the local body and building up each other, when you or me, when we think of going out and being a witness for Christ, what holds me back? What holds you back? Could it be that you know that if you go out there and you would talk to them about who Christ is, if they know you, they might listen, they might be respectful, but when they walk away from you and go home and eat supper with their wife that night, they're like, you wouldn't believe who just came and talked to me today. He is the phoniest thing. And this is what he said. Does your life match up with what you're trying to say? Does your life match up with where you stand in the local body? Where the local body, what they take a stand in? Even though maybe it's not important to you. I alluded to this yesterday in the wedding. But our children grow up and they observe our life and our actions. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, they observe and they see much, much more than they're ever going to acknowledge to you that they're seeing. Because it's really not a big deal to them. It's just, they're just living in a normal home. No matter how dysfunctional it is, their home is normal. They won't say anything about what they're observing. But you can count on it. Those little kids are making evaluations. They add up what you say and they add up what they see. And they just assume you're a phony. They don't even know what the word means. And they don't even make a big deal about it. Then you wonder why your children don't listen and they don't obey you. Brothers and sisters, it's not rocket science. I think we would do well to look at membership the same way I've often said how we should look at marriage. And that is, when you are hunting, man, ladies, when you're hoping to be hunted, a spouse, what you need to, I will tell you, what you need to look for, men and women both, is someone who will meet your needs as much as possible. Someone who is as perfect as possible to meet your needs. Don't settle for anything less. The minute you say, I do, everything changes. All that goes out the door. All that goes out the window. Now, your whole goal in life is number one, to serve Jesus Christ, of course, but your goal in life now is to be that person that your husband needs. Be that person that your wife needs. You forget about your golf game. You forget about whatever else, if that's what it takes. You make sure that you're the person that your spouse needs in order that they can have a fulfilled life. Could we do that with church membership? To where when you're looking for a church to connect with, that you look at it and you see if this is a church that can be there for me, a church that will help me serve Jesus Christ better. But then once you're in there, you flip it around and say, okay, now I'm going to be in this church, that person who is going to make everyone that's around me in this church be able to serve Christ much better because of me being here. I'm going to make their life easy to serve Christ. But so often we don't think of that. It's said in our own country, in our own government, outside forces, they say, outside forces cannot penetrate us. They cannot tear us down. They can hurt us. They can blow up towers. And I'm using that word us loosely. I'm talking in third person. Because for us as Anabaptist, non-resistant believers, this is not our home. Whole nother subject. But they can blow up the towers. They can do whatever they want. They will not penetrate us. And I think we're getting close to the time, brothers and sisters, to where our government leaders are catching on to what can tear us down. We can do it from within. When your own leaders do or say the things that is on their agenda, which is not pro-America, you're not going to stand up under that one, because that's someone that's within your ranks. You have got a fox in the hen house, and there's going to be trouble when that happens. But outside forces cannot penetrate. And it's the same way, I believe, we can take that same analogy in the church. Satan and his forces, they cannot come against the church. Christ said, I will build my church. But we can be damaged and we can be destroyed by within. Those of us that are within the ranks. or it can happen because we're not guarding the gate. We're not guarding the fence. We're not keeping the fence mended. And the enemy slips in because we're picking at each other. James 4:1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? Newsflash, we need each other. I need you and you need me. The weird, wacky ways and all that you have. Because if you'd be up here talking, you wouldn't have any. We all sort of think that, yeah, there's a little bit, most, I'm pretty straight. But boy, some of you out there, we all sort of think that. But can we even say, let's lay that aside. And to love each other deeply. And to recognize that we are not the enemy. But oftentimes, I am our own worst problem. How often do we think or verbalize that the church isn't meeting our needs or it isn't meeting my needs? And this may or may not be true. However, or whatever the case may be on that, maybe, just maybe, for each one of you sitting here and listen to me, maybe, just maybe, this church, and I'm going to say specifically here at Shiloh, but for you as visitors, it can also very much apply to you at your own congregation. Maybe this church needs you a whole lot more than you need them. And you can't leave. But how often is that given any thought? When we want to leave because whatever the reason. Have you ever thought about it? What happens if I wouldn't be here? And hopefully you can think of ways that it would really hurt, it would really bleed. But we've got a job to do, to build each other up, to encourage each other, and to let each other know how important we are. Each one of you has skills and gifts and talents that others don't have. God doesn't need you. He wants you, but He doesn't need you. The church, the local body, it does need you. But you also need the church. We don't always get it right. I've said that. Can we covenant together to be there for each other as a local body? After all, we are family. And as a blood family, we take up for each other, even to a fault. When it's your family that an issue comes up, you are so biased in your opinion. And you are too. And you are too. And you are too. And I am too. We all are. So often we say, well, I'm just, what's true is true. I'm just going to be, you know, I don't know. When it comes to our relation, we're biased. It's just how it is. How about relating that to our church body? That we learn to love and to grow, even in spite of my weird and wacky ways. That we learn to love and continue to love deeply. And it's not because I'm perfect or that you're perfect that we can do that. It's only as Christ flows through us. But when we talk down, when we say negative things about our own congregation, doesn't mean that it might be true, you know, because all of us are like, well, it's true. Doesn't matter. Just because something's true doesn't mean it has to be said. There's lots of things that are true that you don't have to say. But would you do that for your own family? That's what I want you to take home with you this morning, is relating your church family to your own blood family. often when I hear parents talking about their children, maybe how their children don't do this or they don't that, they can't get to do this. Sorry. But most times, the way your children act is just because they're products of their environment. Rather than fussing with your children, you should probably, and I should probably just fuss with myself, because my children aren't but just a reflection of what they're taught. Can we say that in the local church? That when I complain about how something isn't the way I want it to be, that maybe the problem is me. It's not you, it's me. What have I done? What am I doing to be building up each one? What a privilege to be a part of something that's greater than myself. Where there are ideas that are different than my own. To where even I have to give up my own ideas for your idea. A place where I can feel safe. A place where I can know that you have my back. A place where I can know that if I'm wrong, I will be confronted. And not by the preachers necessarily, but by anyone in your family. And it's not because someone has a grudge against you, but it's because they're looking out for your best interest. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Good verse, isn't it? I didn't read all of it. Did you know that? Especially to those who are of the family of believers. And I'd like even to say, especially to those who are of the family of believers in your local fellowship. That's how we know how to do outreach, how to take care of other people. That's how we do with our own families. Can we determine that we will walk and work and even give up my own thinking, which usually is, well, I don't think it's that important. I don't think you should be making such a big deal about it. Or, it's really not any of your business what I do. Both of those statements are wrong in the attitude and also in the statement itself. It does, and it will take work to be together, to work together, to love deeply as a body of Christ, as a local body of Christ. But brothers and sisters, there is nothing on this earth that will be a greater influence to the world around us. To where when they see us, they'll say, you know what? Those people are slam crazy. But boy, they sure love each other. They won't be able to touch you. Can we be that way? Can we work towards being that way? Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for every local body, every local church that is represented here, whether it's a local church that's here at Shiloh or whether it's in some other state. Would you help us, Lord, to know how in a greater way we can learn to love more deeply, how we can learn to better care for each other, how we can look out for the needs and to know the needs of my brothers and my sisters. Be with us as we leave from here. Would you help us to honor your name with the things that we do and the things that we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.